Father, many of us recognize that there's more to life than we have discovered. So, Father, we've made our way to this place, this holy sanctuary. And, Father, we're asking that you'd meet us right here, right now. Father, we're grateful for the music, for the dance, for the videos, the mimes, the speeches. Father, all of it has been a wonderful demonstration of both creativity and sacrifice. These individuals have given of their time and their treasures and their talent as an offering unto you. And so, Father, we pray right now that you're glorified in what was done on today. Now, as we turn to the preaching hour, Lord, we won't preach an hour, but as we turn to the preaching hour, we pray right now that you'd move upon our hearts. Give us a burst of enthusiasm, ethos, that we would give intelligent attention to this, your word. Ultimately, Lord, that some man, woman, boy, or girl would come to know you this day in an intimate way. In the name of Jesus, we pray and praise you. Let everybody say amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I dare not tell you how wonderful this looks on today to see each of you here today. And we want you to know that we have prayed and prepared for you. And it has been our heart's desire to give you a presentation that would help you to catch a glimpse of the goodness of our God. You should have a program in your hands, and in doing so, you see on the rear of it, you have our sermon notes, which will help you to follow along as I deliver the message for today. Here's our message moment. Listen carefully. Jesus came to earth to bring you back to heaven. Jesus came to earth to bring you back to heaven. Jesus came to earth to bring you back to heaven. One of the most riveting films I've seen recently that captures the essence of coming home is Antoine Fisher. If you've never seen it, I'll explain it just a moment. Fisher is a young man who's been abandoned and abused. His life is filled with frustration, seeking, and emptiness. His parents are not present, so his life lacks protection and guidance. He makes his way into the military, where his anger continues to get the best of him. And as a result, he finds himself in counseling. And in the process of counseling and relationship building, Antoine Fisher begins to turn the corner. Here is the point. While seeking for himself, he is found. While seeking for himself, he is found. In a scene that rivals any movie you've ever seen, Fisher is invited to a prepared place by people related to his father. For the first time in his life, the one who was lost has been found. Hit that next slide.
Hey, boy, how are you doing? I'm your Uncle Horace.
Get out the way, Horace. Come on, baby.
Oh,
oh, look at you. Look at you. I'm your Aunt Etta, baby.
Oh, wait, me, me. Oh, I'm your cousin Jeanette. Welcome home. And I'm your Aunt Etta. How are you doing, baby?
Oh, my Lord Jesus.
This is my wife, T.
How you doing? Good looking.
I'm your cousin, Eddie. My dad named me after your father. He's my brother, Ray.
What's up, dog? What's cracking?
Hey, y'all, I'm your cousin, Jason, man. What's love?
All right, boys, open up.
come.
All right.
Come on, Henry.
So, hallelujah. Give God a hand of praise for that. That's beautiful. Amen. So, beloved, we've gathered here on today to pray, to hope, and to help that someone else would make their way home to a prepared place, a place that has been prepared by the Son on behalf of the Father. We discover in John chapter 14, Jesus says, I'm going away to prepare a place just for you. And I want you to know, beloved, that that place has been prepared and that place is waiting on you. So we discover in Scripture that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those who are lost. The parables in Luke chapter 15 demonstrate the love of God being poured out for the salvation of man. That's why we boldly proclaim that Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. As a matter of fact, Jesus in his own words says in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Let me give you a word just for you right now. God cares for you. Write that down. You're going to forget that. God cares for you. God gladly receives those who turn from their way to go his way. I think you missed that. See, that's what Scripture describes as repentance. Those who turn from their way to go his way. I need a witness up in here. So I don't want anyone under the sound of my voice to feel isolated, to feel picked upon, because up in here on today are sinners and sinning saints. Oh, I feel that by myself. I'm going to say it one more time. Up in here are sinners and sinning saints. And as a consequence, I'm here to testify that all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have missed the mark. All stand in need of God's redemptive love. So Luke's gospel is screaming at me this morning. Luke's gospel is helping me to understand that he wrote this for me. This Luke was written for Gentiles, those of us who are not a part of God's preferred or chosen family. So these three parables in Luke chapter 15 are called a trilogy of redemption. Three separate stories that tell of God's love for mankind. And there are three themes connected in this trilogy. The first theme is lost. Somebody say lost. This is extra. This ain't on your notes. Somebody say lost. The second theme is found. Somebody say found. And the third theme is rejoice. Somebody say rejoice. Lost, found, rejoice, lost. Found, rejoice. We see these three themes repeated in this trilogy of parables. See, what's happening in the text is we have two opposing groups. We have the tax collectors and the sinners standing in juxtaposition of the Pharisees and the scribes. The latter is offended by the former. And the latter is upset that Jesus is hanging out with folks like us. Oh, I need a witness up in here. They're upset that Jesus is spending his time with sinners and tax collectors. As a result, Jesus has to remind them and us why he came. But not only why he came, who he came for. Look at your text, verse 1 of chapter 15. All the tax collectors and sinners were approaching to listen to him, and the Pharisees and scribes were complaining, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Two opposing groups, tax collectors and sinners versus Pharisees and scribes. Now, what we have in this text is a situation for a revelation. A situation has been established so that Jesus Christ might reveal more of his way and his purpose. He says in verse 4, "What man among you who has 100 sheep and loses one of them does not leave the 99 in the open field and go after the lost one until he finds it?" We see this sheep. Get ready to write. The principle of the sheep is this: he goes after until he finds. Oh, please get that down. I need you to get that. Goes after until he finds. Pastor, what do you mean goes? Goes after. The text says he will leave the 99 to go after the one. See, the value is revealed in the pain that he endures to discover the one. See, I'm reminded of my own life. See, I know who I am in this text. I ain't the 99. I'm the one. Is there anybody in the house that can declare, "I'm the one"? But the text is moving. Verse 5 says, "When he has found it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder, and coming home, he calls his friends and neighbors together, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you, in the same way," says Jesus, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who don't need repentance." So in the text, by picturing the shepherd carrying the sheep home on his shoulders, Jesus was communicating his loving care for those to whom he saves. Similarly, it costs Jesus much to seek and to save those who are lost. See, what I discovered about my own spiritual development is the Lord wants to put us on display. He wants to celebrate our redemption through him. Lost, found, rejoice. But the text is moving. Verse 8 says, Or what woman who has 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? Light a lamp, sweep the house, and search until she finds it. Let's talk about the coin. Here it is. She searches until she finds. Oh, you're going to see the theme in just a second. She searches until she finds. Get that down. Searches until she finds. The silver coins in view would have been a Greek coin called the drachmas, which literally was worth about a day's wage. Oh, God, I need a witness up in here. If you lose a day's wage, you're going to turn on the light, you're going to sweep, and you ain't going to stop until you get it. Amen. So the woman is not satisfied that she has the 9. She is concerned also about the 1. Oh, God, once again, I'm here to let you know, help me preach this. Say, "I'm the one." Say, "I'm the one." So she is persistent. She is determined. She will not stop until she finds. Verse 9 says, when she finds it, she calls her friends and her homegirls together, and they begin to have a celebration. "Rejoice with me, because I found the silver coin," singular, "I lost. I tell you, in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who repents." Right. Oh, beloved, I'm coming after you today with all that I got in the name of Jesus. The theme in Luke chapter 15 is for every single one of us. This is not the time for pretense. I know you look great. You got your Sunday best on. You look fantastic, but you can still look good and be lost. I'm a living witness in this place. Jesus goes through to seek and to save. Jesus endures in order to save. Jesus died in order to save. Lost, found, rejoice. Oh, y'all help me preach this. Somebody say lost, found, rejoice. Y'all, I'm almost finished. We made our way to the prodigal son. And we all kind of know the story. I'll retell it. I don't want to insult your intelligence, but we may have some who may have never heard it. And even in the video, it seemed unusual that you'd have a young man coming to his daddy and say, "Daddy, give me everything that's coming to me. As a matter of fact, Daddy, I don't want to wait until you die. I want it now." Because you don't get no inheritance until somebody has died. But he says, "I want what's coming to me now." And the text says he goes off and he's living la vida loca. He's doing everything he can because he's got a pocket full of money. He's got a crew with him and he's going to do whatever he wants to do. Sounds like me, amen. Sounds like some of us, amen. We do everything we're big and bad enough to do. But as with all things, when the money runs out, the crew runs out. And it may just be that you landed in church on Sunday morning because your crew ran out on you. I mean, you thought y'all was good. You thought y'all had a strong relationship. But as soon as your money got funny, as soon as you couldn't pick up the tab no more, as soon as you look like you may need a little loan to get me through a rough patch, all of a sudden, their phone don't work. All of a sudden, their emails ain't going through. All of a sudden, their messenger and everything seems to be falling. I know I'm preaching to somebody up in here today. So he finds himself about to eat some pig food. I didn't say pig feet. Y'all, the brother didn't even have pig feet. He was about to eat some pig food. So then he comes to himself and he begins to negotiate with himself as we do. He says, "If I do this and if I do that and if I do that and if then surely I could at least be hired. I can be a slave of my father." But I'm here to let you know that his daddy didn't want no more slaves. His daddy wanted his son. But hold on. I'm about to let you go. He says verse 20. So he got up. He's in the pig pen. He got up and went to his father. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran, threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. We got the lost sheep, we got the lost coin, now we got the lost son. Here it is. The father watches until he sees. I need you to catch that. He watches until he sees. The text says the boy was a long way off. But the father knew that strut. I see myself in that walk, says the father. That walk looks like I used to look decades ago. I know something, but you gotta ask a question of the text. Very likely the father waited and watched daily. He didn't just happen to be there on that day, but he has watched to see when the boy would come back home. The father watched. The father waited. The father anticipated the son's return. The son goes and he begins to speak of his sin, which everyone knew full well. Father says, bring out the best robe quickly. Put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. Put sandals on his feet. Now you got to ask another question. Brother man ain't got no shoes. See, he lost them in the poker game. He didn't have adequate clothing. He gave that away after his money ran out. And he had pawned all his jewelry. So the father is restoring his dignity. He says, watch this, bring the fattened calf. Bring all that stuff. Slaughter and let's celebrate. Uh-oh. Lost. Found. Rejoice. Lost. Found. Rejoice. I'm finished, but I want you to scribble these last few things in, because there's someone here and you're trying to say, well, Pastor Brown, I think I see myself in the text, but what is it? What is my proper response? Number one, beloved, you got to come to yourself. You got to come to the point in your life where you recognize what I'm doing ain't working. You got to come to the point where you recognize there has to be something more to life than I'm getting. There just has to be. I've been trying to do it the way I perceive, but it ain't working. It's just not working. I'm not promising you health and wealth and no more problems. But what I am promising you is life abundant. I'm promising that you will have the power within to overcome everything that comes into your life. But you got to come to yourself. You got to give it to him. Secondly, once you come to yourself, you got to come to the Father. And I'm here to let you know that as the children communicated so profoundly, that there is but one way to God, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so you come to the Father through the Son. But then thirdly and finally, I need you to come home. A relationship awaits you. I need you to come home. I know you may be thinking, Pastor Man, I don't want to join Greater Bethlehem Baptist Church. This is bigger than GBBC. The home I'm talking about is not made with hands. It's not built with bricks. It cannot be destroyed with the storm. The home I'm talking about is your home eternal. The home that has your name on it. Now, unfortunately, if you choose not to come home, that'll be your choice. But I'm here to let you know the invitation is here. And the same way the coin was found, the same way the sheep was found, the same way the son was found, you too can come home. This is what Resurrection Sunday is all about. God demonstrating his love for us and offering his son as an atoning sacrifice. As an atoning sacrifice to purchase our sins. And to bring us home unto himself. It's a buyback program. Oh God, I'm trying to close. But I want to challenge someone under the sound of my voice to come to yourself. Come to the Father, and ultimately to come home. I'm finished. I was watching television the other day and it blew my mind. One of the most intriguing commercials I've ever seen. Company by the name of Serve Pro. I know you've seen the commercial. This company specializes in massive cleanup and restoration. So if your home gets flooded, if your office building burns, if your property experiences devastation, Serve Pro will come in and restore it completely. But here's a tagline that just made me shout right in my living room. It says, and I quote, like it never happened. Oh, I thought I have a little more in here than that. Somebody said, like it never happened. See, many of us feel like what we've done eclipses what Jesus did, but I'm here to let you know Jesus can make you look like it never happened. Is there a witness in the house? Hey! Is there anybody in the house that can testify that he knows how to clean you up and make you look like it never happened? He'll take your indiscretions and clean you up. Have I got a witness? Oh, no. But I want you to know something else. He'll take your lifestyle that ain't so great and he'll clean it up. But that's not all. He'll take your sins and your past discretions and he'll clean it up. Is there a witness in the house that can testify that God can wash my sins? That God can take my sin and cast it as far as the east is from the west? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Y'all help me close this. What can make me whole? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Is there anybody in the house that can testify that I've been clean, washed, and given another chance? I think I feel my help in here. He'll give you grace for your guilt. He'll give you peace for your pain. He'll give you joy for your journey. But you gotta come on home. Come on home and give God your heart. Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Yes. Some of you are trying to figure out, will he forgive me? I'm here to testify that he will. Some of you are asking yourself, can he really wash me? I'm here to testify, yes, he will. Somebody say, can he restore me? I'm here to testify, yes, he will. See, the children told the story of how he came to set us free. It was on a Friday. I'm trying to close, but I didn't got to happen. It was on a Friday. And the Lord Jesus found himself being taken from courtroom to courtroom. Hell, Hosanna on Monday. Crucified on Friday. And then they hung him on an old rugged cross. And he stayed on that cross from sun up to sundown. And then they placed him in an old borrowed tomb. And he stayed there all night Friday night, all day Saturday, and all night Saturday night. But my Bible tells me that early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. Power to make me walk right. Power to make me talk right. Power to make me live right. Is there anybody who's experienced the power? Say yeah. Say yeah. Oh yeah. Did he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he make a way? Yes! 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 Jesus, yes. To our guest, I want to apologize. We just happy about Jesus. We're grateful that he saves. And the whole purpose of everything we've done is to give you an invitation to come home. So if everyone would just stand all over the sanctuary, just stand with us. I need you to see what's taking place. There are some individuals with buttons on, and they're going to stand over here. The buttons say, "Can I just pray for you?" See, I understand everyone's here. Everyone that's here isn't necessarily unsaved. You've made a decision long time ago. Long time ago. I'll take that water. Long time ago. And so all you need to do is to be restored. Is to be renewed. Just to make a recommitment. And these individuals here, they're just here to pray with you. No judgment. No scorn. Just love. But then other preachers, come on, preachers. They're going to be over here. You two stay right where you are. The preachers here, you say, "Well, Pastor Brown, I need to come home. I've never received God's gift of salvation." Ask him why he came. "I've never received God's gift of salvation." And so we have invitation counselors. Listen carefully. We have invitation counselors lined along the wall. They're here to explain to you God's plan of salvation. Again, we're not here to make you feel bad from which you've come. We're simply here to welcome you. I want to be clear again. We want to pray for you. If you are a believer already, you just need to be a little restored and rededicated. These preachers are here to escort you over there to our invitation counselors to receive the gift. I think they're coming already. I want you to come. I need you to come. The doors of the church are open. Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the
come on, sing with me.
Blood of Jesus Christ. Why don't you come? Come on, my brother. Don't wait. Just come. Come for prayer. Come for salvation. Listen. Here are the words. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today. There's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Listen carefully. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is coming. Let's sing the chorus. Sing it together. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open. Why don't you come? Come on, come on. Forgiveness. Come on, my brother.
Was bought with.
Come on, my sisters. We've been waiting on
precious.
Come on, come on, come on.
Stay
right there. Oh,
Christ.
Come, oh, come.
Oh, come to.
Come on, why don't you come?
The altar.
The Father's
arms are open.
I'm waiting on you.
Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Oh,
come to
the
altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Now I want you to listen to me. Hold on. Listen to me. We're singing. We're moving. But I don't want you to get confused. You're saying, Pastor, I mean, I came just to have church, just to worship. I don't need to come. But I want to submit to you that this could be your chance to come. This could be your opportunity. This could be your moment of deliverance. This could be your moment of restoration. And I don't want you to let this moment pass without taking full advantage of this opportunity. Remember the message that the children gave you. Remember the message of the song. Y'all stay here focused on me right here. Remember the message that the children spoke, the song, everything that you've heard. This could be your moment. Come on, come on. Oh, come, come on.
Oh, come to
come on.
The altar.
Come on, my brother. Come on, my son.
Father, God's our
Lord. It's never
perfect
today. Come on.
Forgiveness.
Come on.
Was bought with
the precious.
Precious.
Like getting up, but I pray that you touch them right now, unsettle their spirit. Don't let them be comfortable with where they are now. Compel them to move. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let everybody say amen. Come on, put those hands together for the Lord. Guess we never go this long, but this is a special occasion. Amen. We want to make a bigger amen in that. Come on, amen. So we wanted to make sure that we didn't cut any corners today, and so we laid it all out. And it was an act and a demonstration of love, because we wanted to paint a clear picture of what it means to come home. So at this time, we're going to continue to worship. We're going to worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. For our guests, let me tell you this, be very clear. We would love for you to give, but you're under no obligation to do so. But you feel led of the Lord to give, but because the giving is reserved for the members of our faith community. So the offering trays along your feet there. You can go to our website, greaterdallas.org. You can click the giving tab and give electronically, or you can do any other way you see fit. It's all good. But I want to let you know, GBBC, we wanted to make this special. So I pray that you have a special offering for today. And the people of God said amen. Amen. It's time for the offering. Amen. We're ready for the announcements.
Great day and happy Resurrection Sunday, GBBC. You are listening to The Greater Way, and here are your announcements. The Farm Stand is accepting pre-orders for your Farm Stand purchases. Order forms are available in the foyer, and orders must be received by Wednesday at 5 p.m. Please contact Artisha Hill for information. Make a difference in the life of a child by becoming a foster or adoptive parent. Jonathan's Place would like to partner with you to provide a safe, loving home for children. Please contact Broderick Wilson for information. Please join the Essential Women's Ministry for a superhero-style Mother's Day celebration. The celebration will be Saturday, May 11th at 12 p.m. right here at Greater Bethlehem. Registration will open soon, so plan to register early. Please visit our website and see the weekly newsletter for additional information. And we would also like to wish all members born in the month of April a very, very happy birthday and a very happy and blessed Easter. You have yourself a phenomenally blessed week, and you've been listening to The Greater Way.
Praise God, praise God. Now listen, we're just about ready to go, and I want to applaud you for your patience. It's so wonderful to have the kids and the teenagers in worship with us. It's so lively. Amen. I know you probably had some folk screaming around you. That's a good thing. Amen. That kept you from falling asleep today. Amen. But I want to be real serious. One serious note. If you have, in fact, received the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, and you're confident in that, you know that you know, I want you to be a witness of one. And as I get ready to pray, I want you to just turn to your neighbor right or left and just ask him, is there any reason that you may need to come down and have just a discussion about your destiny? If they say, no, man, I'm good. I'm saved. I'm good. I got a church home. I'm good. Then you say hallelujah. But if they say anything but yes, be a witness of one. Remember the symbol of one in our text. Be willing to come out of your comfort zone and be inconvenienced for that one. All right, come on, brothers, let's pray, let's pray, let's pray. And I'm going to give you that opportunity to do that in just a moment. And we're going to talk about these visitors' cards. Let's pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your obedience, dear Lord. We thank you for this message. We thank you for your Savior. We thank you for the offering that was given in the day. We ask that it be used for the glorification of your kingdom. These are the blessings we ask in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we're ready to go. We've already greeted. God bless you, brother. We've already greeted each other. We've had a good fellowship. Now, this is an opportunity for you to sort of be a witness. I'm going to give you 2, 3, 4 seconds to turn to your neighbor right or left, ask them what their name is, tell them what your name is, and say, is there any reason that you kind of needed to go down front? If they say no, you say, praise the Lord. If they say yes, you let them know, I'm willing to walk with you. Ready, set, turn. Let's go real quick. Turn to your neighbor. Any reason. Turn to your neighbor. Any reason. Come on. Let's get some of these choir folks saved. Amen. Way to be a witness. I see y'all talking. I see you. Praise the Lord if they good. I see somebody standing up. Come on, invitation counselors. Invitation counselors. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Oh. No, they leaving. I'm sorry. Hold on. My bad. I got crunk, but I was ready. They going home. Excuse me. Okay, now, we're ready to go. I want to try to do something just as crazy as I can be. Number one, we have coffee. We have the Browns Coffee Bistro, sponsored by our special events ministry and our culinary ministry in the foyer. Grab you some coffee and a bistro on your way out. Just kind of hang out if you don't mind. Now, if you are a first-time guest at Greater Bethlehem Baptist Church, this is your first time entering our hall, our wall, I simply want you to raise your hand. First timers, let me see where y'all first time. Look at that. Come on, give it up, give it up, give it up.